Welcome to Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua of Christ Is All Ministries. Negativity often dominates our world, but God's Word offers a powerful antidote, talking about the good. We are beckoned not just to believe in the good, but to actively talk about it, making it visible, tangible, and transformative. The simple acts, like a pebble in a pond, creates ripples of positivity. But why is talking about good things so important? The answer lies in the subtle power of words. Just as negativity can breed despair, focusing on the good has the potential to cultivate hope, gratitude, and even action. This isn't about ignoring challenges, but shifting perspectives. In this message titled Talk About the Good, Evangelist Paul Acqua delves into the manifold benefits of recognizing all the good that exists within you, in Jesus Christ, and in cultivating the habit of always talking about it.
The Bible says in Philemon verse 6 that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The Amplified says it this way: I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective and powerful because of your accurate knowledge of every good thing which is ours in Christ. So basically, the Bible is saying the communication of your faith may become effectual by the communicating of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus the Lord. So not communicating every bad thing around you. He's saying communicating of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus the Lord. You and I have to make a choice, brothers and sisters. We have to make a choice. We are either going to communicate the bad that's around us, or murmur and complain, unbelief, or we are going to communicate the good that's in us in Christ Jesus. We are going to be thankful and we are going to praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe you are dwelling around people that all they do is murmur and complain, and that is a manifestation of unthankful attitude. Maybe you are around people, all they do is they talk about bad things that's happening instead of focusing on the good. Many times, even our families, all they do is talk about how bad things are. I remember when I became born again and got so serious with my relationship with the Lord, I began to actually stop this murmuring and complaining. I stop this negativity. It doesn't mean we do not evaluate things. I wasn't actually fitting in anymore with my friends and even with some of my family members. I didn't want to talk about how bad things were. I wanted to talk about how good things were. I wanted to talk about the good things, to focus on the good things, my friend. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 verse 22 that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It's a powerful statement that sometimes we just read and ignore its full meaning. So if you find a wife, you have found a good thing. We are talking about focusing on good things. She is God's good thing in your life. A wife is God's good thing in your life. Why? Because the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And yet, I see people murmuring and complaining about their spouse. Don't talk negatively about your spouse to your family or to your friends or relatives. Don't fight with your spouse or criticize your spouse in front of others. Do not do that. Don't indulge in gossiping about your spouse. If you have any issues, sort it out between the two of you. Always remember that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. That's what the Bible is saying. Let me tell you a story. I was listening to a preacher and he told this story about a pastor of a church. The pastor was married and his wife didn't play the piano. She didn't lead women's fellowship. She didn't conduct ladies' Bible study. She didn't do all of the things that the typical pastor's wife does. And so he felt like, I need a better wife. He was actually praying one time and he said, God, I would like to get rid of this woman. Get me a wife who could play the piano and teach and support me and my ministry. That's what he was telling God. He knew that was a wrong attitude, but that's the way he felt. And so he just confessed it to the Lord. And he said, God, help me. What should I do? And the Lord told him, I want you for 2 weeks not to pray for your wife to change or pray about any of these negative things that you see. But instead, just start thanking me for something about your wife every day. So, according to him, he said the first day he couldn't think of anything good. But finally, the Lord spoke to him. He said, she's been married to you for 30 years and she's been faithful. She's never committed adultery on you. What would that have done to your ministry if she had been unfaithful? You ought to praise God that she's been faithful for 30 years. So the first day, just out of sheer obedience, he said, thank you, Father, that she's never committed adultery on me. And he started praising God for that. Then the second day, he couldn't think of anything. And so the Lord said, you've traveled the world a lot, and she stayed home. She's raised this case in your absence. She's been father and mother sometimes. And so he started praising God for that. And every day, the Lord just started showing him something about his wife to be thankful and grateful for. At the end of 2 weeks, this man was on his face saying, thank you, Father. I have got the most godly wife, and he just fell in love with her all over again for just remembering and being thankful for the things that he was not focused on. I tell you, that would work for any of us. We need to focus on the good things. Let's focus and talk about the good things, my friend. Some people come to church and they will murmur and complain about the lack of gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I love the gifts of the Spirit and I continue to seek and operate in them. But some of the people who complain and murmur about the lack of the gifts in the church don't even operate in any of the gifts. We just want to murmur and complain about the church. Murmur and complain about the service. It's either too long or too short or too loud or too contemporary. We are always looking for bad things. That's not good. That's an ungrateful attitude. We need to talk about the good things and be grateful so we can receive God's best. God has got good things for us. And so we need to be appreciative and be grateful for what he has done. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. The Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. And these signs will follow those who believe. That's what the Bible says. If you are a believer, the Bible is saying, in my name they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And yet, I see people complaining and talking about the lack of miracles we are seeing. Yes, I want to see people healed from all kinds of diseases and conditions. I have prayed for sick people and I have seen some of them healed. I want to see the demon possessed and those oppressed by the devil set free. Yes, I have prayed for the demon possessed and I have seen them set free. But I have prayed for many more sick people and I didn't see them recover. I want to see these supernatural, spectacular miracles at all times. But I'm not going to murmur and complain because of the lack of miracles I'm seeing. I need to be thankful about the miracles I am seeing and talk about them. I have prayed for people who God healed. I have cast out demons. So I will need to just concentrate on that and be thankful for that. God wants us to heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. The most important thing is that we have to be thankful even for the miracles we are seeing in order to see more miracles and not murmur and complain. Healing depends on different factors if you don't know. Jesus didn't do many miracles in his own hometown because of their unbelief. Let me share a scripture with you. I'm sure you heard it several times. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And I read from verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Verse 55 says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. They were just looking at bad things. There was nothing bad about Jesus, but they never recognized any good thing. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and his own home. And look at verse 58. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. This verse says that Jesus did not do many miracles there. Why? Because of their lack of faith, showing that he was hindered by their unbelief in doing what he wanted to do. Some amount of faith must be present in the person receiving the miracle, if you don't know. Anyone receiving miracles, some sort of amount of faith must be in that person. These people did not allow Jesus to help them. Yes, he got the power to heal them, but because of their unbelief, Jesus did not do many miracles there. Why? Because they were offended. Why? Because they thought that he should not be amongst them with that power. Some amount of faith might be present in the person receiving the miracle in order for God to do the work. That's what the Bible is saying. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do many miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. That's what the Bible is saying. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Does it mean we should not heal the sick? We will. I have been on the crusade grounds and many people have got healed, others to come and go like that. You know, these people refused to believe in his teaching because they considered him one of themselves and therefore without authority to preach to them. The people of the town Jesus grew up in, Nazareth, took offense at him. You see, they did not consider any good thing about the Savior, the Messiah, who came from heaven to save our lives, who had all power on earth and in heaven. They did not recognize what he had. Scripture records that they were astonished by his wisdom and his mighty works. However, this was not an amazement leading to sincere questions or belief. Rather, it was offense. They didn't acknowledge any good thing about Jesus Christ. My friend, be grateful for what you have. They kept asking, where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? They were asking. Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? and they took offense at him. Because of their unbelief, Jesus did not give them the good things that they needed. My friend, we need to focus on the good things that we have and change our attitude. From today, talk about the good things that God has done. He has healed all our diseases. He has forgiven all our sins. He protects us. He provides for us. He is a good God. That's why the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He has got so many benefits for us than your government. He has got benefits for us than your bank. He's got benefits for us than your employer. My friend, be thankful. Think about the good things that God has done for you. And if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't even have any good thing that you deserve to have. He came down from heaven to save your life. And if you will, you may pray this prayer after me, saying every word from your heart. Say, "Dear Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner and need to be saved. I understand that Jesus died in my place and suffered all the judgment of my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he is at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen."
Thank you for joining us today on Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to tell a friend. Also, make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any prayer request, you can contact us at +44 787 945 6907. You can also visit www.ciamint.com for more resources to help you dig deeper into your Christian life. Christ is all ministries, sharing Christ, changing lives.